In the east wall of the glass room, five heavily tattooed Keltar hulked in tight pants and shirts. On the south wall, Rowena, Cat, Joe, and three other she-seers, all dressed in drab, snug pantsuits, stood at attention, minus Danny. I was surprised Rowena hadn't brought her, but I guessed she'd decided her risks outweighed her benefits, the most risky of her flaws being that she liked me. On the north wall, Valaine, Velvet, Drelia, who once again had a mouth but was wisely keeping it closed, and three other Seelie of the same cast posed arrogantly, draped in see-through short shifts, their flawless faces matched by flawless genitalia. Barons, Lore, Riordan, and myself occupied the west wall, closest to the door. Rowena glared at the five Scots lined shoulder to shoulder like the Falcon's defense.
"You do know how to seal it away, do you not?"
she demanded. Oozing varying degrees of hostility, they glared back at her. The Keltar were not the kind of men a woman ordered around, especially not an old woman like Rowena, who hadn't been bothering to exercise an ounce of diplomacy or charm since she'd been escorted, blindfolded, into one of the glass rooms on the top floor of Chester's.
"Perversion and decadence!"
she'd snapped the moment they'd removed her blindfold.
"You condone this consorting, the flesh of human and fey mix in this place. Ugh, and you'll be the damnation of the human race,"
she'd hissed at Riordan.
"Fuck the human race, you're not my problem."
I'd almost laughed at the expression on her face, but I wasn't laughing now. She'd been trying to shut me out of the ritual, acting like I was a pariah that shouldn't even be allowed in the room where this meeting was taking place.
"Och, and of course we ken it."
The speaker was Drustin, the Keltar who would be picking up the Shisadu and carrying it to the Abbey. According to his brother, he'd been burned on a pyre of sorts and had an incorruptible heart. I didn't believe it for a minute. Nobody has an incorruptible heart. We all have our weaknesses. But I had to admit that the man who looked out from those silvery eyes exuded some kind of serenity, at utter odds with his appearance. He looked like a man who would have been more comfortable centuries in the past, stomping around the Highlands with a club in one hand and a sword in the other. They all did, except for Christopher, who strongly resembled Drustin without the throwback gene. But Drustin had presence. He had a way with words and a voice that was deep, full of command yet gentle. He spoke more softly than any of the other Keltar, but he was the one I found myself trying hardest to hear when they were all talking at once, which was pretty much all the time. I looked at Christian and gave him a faint smile, but his expression didn't defrost one bit. It was only last night that Valaine and the Keltars had succeeded in reconnecting the dolmen at 1247 LaRue to the Unseelie prison, then stormed the king's fortress to retrieve him. He'd been out roughly 16 hours, and didn't look much better than he had inside the Silvers. He was no longer a study in marble, cobalt, and jet, but he was... well, it made no sense, but he gave the fleeting impression of those colors. If I looked directly at his hair, I could pick out strands of copper, and even a hint or two of sun-burnished gold in the dark ponytail. But if I caught it from the corner of my eye, it looked ebony and longer than it was. His lips were pink and utterly kissable, unless I turned my head suddenly. Then for a moment I'd swear they were blue with cold and lightly frosted. His skin was golden, smooth, and touchable, but if I glanced sharply his way, he would glow like backlit ice. His eyes were changed, too. Lie detector extraordinaire, he now seemed to be looking right through everything around him, as if he was seeing the world completely different than the rest of us. His father, Christopher, studied him when he thought Christian wasn't paying attention. Somebody needed to tell him there was never a time his son wasn't paying attention. Christian might seem to check out for a few moments, but if you were looking straight into his eyes, you could see that he was even more intensely focused on his surroundings, so focused that he'd gone still and seemingly absent, as if opening an inner ear that demanded absolute concentration.
"Lie,"
he said now. Drustin scowled at Christopher.
"I told you to make sure he'd hoard his bloody waste. He's not hoarding his wheest for anyone anymore,
Christian said flatly.
What do you mean, lie?
Rowena demanded.
They don't know for certain that their chant will work. The old texts stored in Sylvan's tower had deteriorated, leaving them no choice but to improvise.
And we're bloody good at it. We got you out, didn't we?
Kian growled.
It's his fucking fault I ended up in there to begin with.
Christian jerked his head toward Barron's.
I don't even know why he's here.
He's here,
Barron said coolly.
Because he has three of the stones necessary to corner the book.
Hand him over and get the fuck out.
It's not my fault you're turning into a fairy.
Valaine said stiffly.
Fae, not fairy. You knew my tats weren't protection enough.
I'm not your babysitter.
Christopher hissed.
You should have checked him.
For the love of Mary, Rowena snapped. I've a plague of barbarians and fools.
And it wasn't my job to tattoo you. Pack your own fucking parachute. It wasn't even my job to keep the...
Drustin said softly.
We should have checked him.
Dagus snarled.
Don't be acting like 'twas some bloody favor you did. You didn't try to get me out of the Silvers. Did you even tell anyone I was there?
But the hour grew late,
Drustin said.
And time can no longer be undone.
For the human race when you're part of it,
Dagus finished.
Walls up, and it was a bloody favor, though you wouldn't know by the bloody thinks I've gotten. And don't be lumping me in the same gene pool as you, Highlander.
Oh, shut up, all of you, I said, exasperated.
You can fight later. Right now we have work to do. To the Keltar, I said, how certain are you of the parts you improvised? No one spoke for a moment as they finished the battle in silence with glares and wordless threats.
As certain as we can be,
Dagus finally said.
We're not new to this. We've been the Queen's druid since before the compact was negotiated. We sat with them in the old days, when the great hill of Tara had yet to be built, and learned their ways. Plus, we've a few other bits of arcane lore at our disposal.
And we all know how well that turned out for you last time,
Barron said silkily.
Mayhap you weren't helping but hindering, old one.
Dagus growled.
We ken you've your own agenda. What is it?
Stop it, all of you,
Rowena snapped. The tension swelled. Barron's and his men will place three of the stones. I tried to get things back on track.
He will give them to my she-seers, Rowena said sternly. We will place the stones.
Barron's gave her an incredulous look with the subtle arch of a brow.
In whose fucking reality do you think that's going to happen?
You have no business being involved.
Old woman, I don't like you,
Barron said coldly.
Be careful around me. Be very, very careful.
Rowena closed her mouth, perched her glasses on her nose, and pursed her lips. I looked at Valaine. Did you bring the fourth stone? He looked at Barron's.
Did he bring his three?
Barron's bared his teeth at Valaine. Valaine hissed. The Keltar growled. And so it went. 45 minutes later, when we all stalked from the room, two of the walls were shattered and the floor was cracked. But we'd nailed down the nuances of our plan. I would fly a hunter over the city and locate the Shisadu, radioing back the location. Barron's, Lore, Riordan, and Valaine would close in with the four stones, while the Keltar began the binding spell to seal its covers so it could be moved. Drustin would pick it up. Barron's, Rowena, Drustin, Valaine, and I would ride together in Barron's Hummer to the Abbey, because no one trusted Valaine or any other fae to sift him with the book there and wait for everyone else to arrive. Rowena would drop the wards, and all of us who were in the room today would enter the underground tomb that had been created eons ago to contain the Shisadu. Dagus would complete the binding spell that would seal its pages closed, and, according to their lore, turn the keys in the locks, which would silence it in a vacuum of eternal awareness, alone forever.
A hellish thing, to be sure,
he'd said grimly, and something he'd seemed to know a thing or two about.
There's no reason for her to be there,
Rowena had continued to protest, giving me the gimlet eye, even as they were blindfolding her and the she-seers. Riordan didn't want them seeing his club or knowing the back way in.
There's no reason for you to be there either, old woman.
Barons had said.
Once you drop the wards, we don't need you.
You're not necessary either.
You think only Dagus should go in, with Drustin and the book? I'd said acerbically. She'd fumed the entire way out. As I stepped into the overcast afternoon, I shivered. All trace of spring had vanished. The day was dark as dusk again, heavy with rain. Tomorrow night we would meet at O'Connell and Beacon. And with luck, by dawn the next day the world would be a safer place. In the meantime, I was desperate for some downtime away from all the men in my life. I needed a girl's night and the comforts of normalcy. I turned to Valaine and touched his arm. Can you find Dani for me and ask her to come to the bookstore tonight at 8?
Your wish, my command, Michaela.
He smiled.
Shall we spend tomorrow at the beach together?
Barons moved beside me.
She's busy tomorrow. Are you busy tomorrow, Michaela? She's working on old texts with me.
Valaine gave me a pitying look.
Ah, old texts. A banner day at the bookstore. We're translating the Kama Sutra,
Baron said.
With interactive aids.
I almost choked. You're never around during the day.
Why is that?
Valaine was the picture of innocence.
I'll be around tomorrow,
Baron said. All day? I asked.
The entire day. She will be naked on a beach with me. She's never been naked in a bed with you. When she comes, she roars. I know what she sounds like when she comes. I have given her multiple orgasms merely by kissing her. I've given her multiple orgasms by fucking her. For months, fairy. Are you still fucking her?
Valaine purred.
Because she does not smell like you. If you are, you are not marking her enough. She is beginning to smell like me. Like Fay. Unbelievable.
I heard Christian mutter behind me.
She tups them both?
I heard Drustin ask.
And they permit it.
Dagus sounded baffled. I looked between Valaine and Barons. This isn't even about me.
You're wrong about that.
Barons reached into his pocket and pulled out a cell phone.
You know how to find me if you want me.
He was walking away. More nifty acronyms? He was gone.
And you know how to find me as well, princess.
Valaine turned me toward him and closed his mouth over mine.
Mac, what the bloody hell do you think you're doing?
Christian demanded. I staggered a little when Valaine released me. His name was once again coiled in my tongue. You know what? I said irritably. You can all just butt out of my business. I don't have to answer to any of you. There was definitely too much testosterone in my life. A girl's night in was just what I needed. Part 3. Between the desire and the spasm, between the potency and the existence, between the essence and the descent, falls the shadow. T.S. Eliot. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to see. Doris Day, Livingston and Evans.
I am not evil.
Then why do you destroy?
Clarify.
You do heinous things.
Expound.
You kill.
Those that are killed become another thing.
Yes, dead, destroyed.
Define destroy.
To demolish, damage, ruin, kill.
Define create.
To give rise to, fashion something from nothing, take raw material and invent something new.
There is no such thing as nothing. All is something. Where does your raw material come from? Was it not something before you forced it to become something else?
Clay is just a lump of clay before an artist molds it into a beautiful vase.
Lump. Beautiful. Opinion. Subjective. The clay was something. Perhaps you were as unimpressed with it as I am by humans, yet you cannot deny it was its essential self. You smashed it, stretched it, pulled it, smelted it, dyed it, and forced it to become something else. You imposed your will upon it. and you call this creation. I take a being and make its molecules rest. How is that not creation? It was one thing, and is another. Once it ate, now it is eaten. Did I not create sustenance for another with its new state? Can there be any act of creation that does not first destroy? Villages fall, cities rise. Humans die. Life springs from the soil wherein they lie. Is not any act of destruction, should time enough pass, an act of creation?
Conversations with the Shisadu. 36.
Happy birthday!
I cried as I opened the front door of BB&B. When Danny stepped inside, I stuck a pointy party hat on her head, snapped the elastic string beneath her chin, and handed her a party horn.
Gotta be kidding me, Mac! That was months ago!
She looked embarrassed, but I saw the sparkle in her eyes.
Valaine said you wanted me. Gotta love that dude. A fey prince comes looking for the mega. What's up? Ain't seen you for a while.
I led her to Party Central in the back of the bookstore, where a fire leapt, music played, and I'd piled wrapped packages on a table. Her eyes widened.
This all for me? I ain't never had a party.
We've got potato chips, pizza, cake, cookies and candy, and all the sweets are triple chocolate fudge, chocolate mousse, or chocolate chip. We're going to be total couch potatoes, open presents, gorge, and watch movies.
Like you and Elena used to.
Just like. I put my arm around her shoulder. But first things first. Sit down and stay right there. I hurried back to the front of the store, removed the cake from the fridge, stuck 14 candles on it, and lit them. I was proud of my cake. I'd taken my time icing it with swoops and swirls, then decorated it with shavings of bittersweet chocolate. You've got to make a wish and blow out the candles. I placed it on the coffee table in front of her. She stared down at the cake with a dubious expression, and for a moment all I could think was, please don't smash it into the ceiling. It had taken me all afternoon and 3 tries to bake one that had finally turned out well. She looked at me, squeezed her eyes shut, and screwed her face into a pucker of fierce determination. Don't hurt yourself, honey. It's just a wish, I teased. But she wished like she did everything else, 150%. She stood there so long I was beginning to suspect she had a little bit of an attorney in her and was adding codicils and caveats. Then her eyes popped open and she flashed me that cocky grin. She nearly blew the icing off the cake.
Means it'll have to come true, right? 'Cause I blew 'em out.
Haven't you had a birthday cake before, Danny? She jerked her head. From this day forward, there will be at least 1 birthday cake for Danny Mega O'Malley each year, I proclaimed solemnly. She beamed, cut the cake, and plunked 2 huge wedges on plates. I added cookies and a handful of candy.
Dude, she said happily, licking the knife. What are we going to watch first?
Since I came to Dublin, there haven't been many moments in my life when I've been able to sit back, relax, and forget. Tonight was one of them. It was bliss. For a stolen evening, I was Mac again, eating good food, enjoying good company, pretending I didn't have a care in the world. One thing I've learned is that the harder your life gets, the gentler you have to be with yourself when you finally get some downtime, or you can't be strong when you need to be. We watched a dark comedy and laughed our petunias off while I painted her stubby fingernails black. What's this? I said, noticing her bracelet. Her cheeks pinked.
Ain't nothing. Dancer gave it to me.
Who's Dancer? You have a boyfriend? She wrinkled her nose.
Ain't like that.
What's it like?
Well, Dancer's cool, but he ain't. He's got just a friend.
Yeah, right. The Mega had blushed. Dancer was more than a friend.
How'd you meet him?
She wriggled uncomfortably.
We're watching this movie. You're being sissies.
I picked up the remote and hit the pause button. Sisters, not sissies. Spill Danny, who's Dancer.
You never tell me nothing about your sex life, she said crossly. Bet you and Alina talked about sex all the time.
I sat up straight, alarmed. Are you having a sex life?
Nah, man. Ain't ready yet. Just saying. Want to talk like sisters? Got to do more than read me the riot act.
I breathed again. She'd been forced to grow up so fast. I wanted some part of her life to unfold slowly, perfectly, with roses and romance. Not in the heat of the moment with the console of a Camaro digging into the small of her back and some guy she barely knew on top of her, but in a way that she'd remember forever. Remember when I said we were overdue for a talk?
And here comes the lecture, she muttered. Dude, ears up. They didn't tell us all the important stuff about the prophecy. Left out a lot.
She sprang it on me out of the blue, derailing me completely as she'd known she would. And you're just now telling me this? She poked out her bottom lip.
Was getting around to it. You're the one that wanted to talk stupid stuff while I was trying to be professional-like. Just heard it myself. Ain't been hanging around the Abbey much. Moved out long time ago.
I'd assumed she'd moved back in. One day I'd learned to quit making assumptions. Where have you been staying? With Jane at Dublin Castle? She crossed her arms over her chest, preening.
Popped by to kill the faux fex I catch, but got my own digs. Call it Casa Mega.
Danny was living on her own, and she had a boyfriend?
You just turned 14.
I was horrified. The boyfriend part was fine. Well, maybe, depending on what he was like, how old he was, and if he was good enough for her. But the living on her own part of things was going to have to change. Fast.
Ah, no. Long overdue, huh?
She flashed me that gamine grin.
Got a couple of places for different moods. It's all there for the picking. Even got a crotch rocket.
She waggled her fingers.
5-finger discount. I was made for this world.
Who would take care of her if she got the flu? Who would talk to her about birth control and STDs? Who would bandage her cuts and scrapes and make sure she ate right?
About the prophecy, Mac. There's a whole nother part they didn't tell us.
I shelved parental concerns for the moment. Where did you hear that?
Joe told me.
I thought Joe was loyal to Rowena.
Think Joe's got stuff going on the side. She's part of Roe's Haven, but don't think she likes her none. Said Roe wouldn't let him tell you the whole truth, and they kept it from me, 'cause they don't trust me neither. Think I tell you everything.
So spill, I urged.
Prophecy has a whole bunch of other parts. More deets about peeps and the ways things'll happen. Says the one who dies young is gonna betray the human race and hook up with those that made the beast.
I shifted uneasily. 1,000 years before Alina had even been born, it had been foretold that she would join Team Darok.
Says the one who longs for death, the one that's gonna hunt the book, that's you, Mac, ain't human. And the two from the ancient bloodlines ain't got a snowball chance in hell of fixing our mess, 'cause they ain't gonna want to.
I shaped my mouth around words, but nothing came out.
Says the whole gig's got about 20% chance of working. And, if it don't, the second prophecy has about 2% odds.
Who writes prophecies with such sucky odds? I said irritably. She cracked up.
Dude, I said the same thing.
Why didn't they tell me? They made it sound like I was virtually insignificant. I'd liked it that way. I had enough problems to deal with.
Danny shrugged. Whole thing about Roe never telling us we might be an unseelie cast. Said if you knew, it might be like a self-fulfilling prophecy. I say, you gotta know what you are, no? Look in the mirror. Eyes gotta meet eyes or quit looking.
What else? I demanded. Was there more?
There's like this whole other sub-prophecy. Says if the two from the ancient bloodlines are killed, things will play out different, and the odds of success will be higher. Younger they're killed, the better.
A chill slid up my spine. That was brutal and to the point. Who would go how far to skew the odds more strongly in favor of the human race? I was surprised we hadn't been killed at birth, assuming I'd had one. So I was thinking that's probably why you and Alina got gave up. Somebody didn't want to kill you guys as little kids, so they sent you away. Of course. And we'd been forbidden to return. But Alina had wanted to go to Dublin to study abroad, and Daddy had never been able to deny us anything. One decision, one tiny decision, and the world as we knew it began to fall apart. What else? I pressed. Joe said they'd been talking to Nana O behind Rose's back. Said the old woman was at the Abbey the night the book got out. Saw things. She sees ripped to pieces, hacked apart. Said they only found little pieces of some. Others they never found. Nana was there when the book got out? She hadn't mentioned a word of it the night Cat and I had talked to her at her cottage by the sea. Short of calling me Alina, telling us that her granddaughter, Kaylee, had been Isla's best friend and fellow Haven member, and that she'd felt dark stirrings in the soil, she'd told us little else. Danny shook her head. Showed up after? Said her bones told her her daughter's immortal soul was in peril. You mean her granddaughter, Kaylee? I mean her daughter. Danny's eyes sparkled. Ro! My mouth shaped a silent O. Rowena is Nana's daughter? I finally managed. Rowena was Kaylee's mother? How much more had Nana O'Reilly neglected to tell me? Old woman despises her. Won't claim her. Cat and Joe searched Nana's cottage while she slept and found things. Pictures and baby books and stuff. Nana thinks Rose part of how the book got out. Said Kaylee told her they'd created a backup mini-haven that Ro knew nothing about, with a leader that didn't even live at the Abbey. Name was Tessie or Telly or something funny like that. Case something happened to the Haven members that lived at the Abbey. Oh, my head was spinning. They'd been keeping me completely out of the loop. If I'd postponed celebrating Danny's birthday, I never would have learned any of this. Here was the mysterious Telly that Barons and my father had both mentioned. She'd been leader of a secret haven. She'd helped my mother escape. I needed to find her.
Have you located Telly yet?
I'd overheard Barons saying.
No, get more people on it.
It seemed Barons had once again beat me to the punch and had his men out hunting for her already. Why? How did he know about the woman? What did he learn that he hadn't told me? And? Said you're... Well, supposedly, you ain't human, so I guess she ain't your mom. Isla got out alive. Nana O saw her leaving that night. Ain't never gonna guess with who. I didn't even trust myself to speak. Rowena. And the old bitch had probably killed her. Whether she was my mom or not, I still felt tied to her, protective of her. Oh, come on, you gotta guess. She was getting blurry around the edges with excitement. Rowena, I said flatly. Guess again, she said. This one's gonna fry your mind. Nana never would have known, except you stopped by with him. Well, she don't call him a him. She calls him an it. I stared at her. Who? I demanded. Saw Isla getting in a car with something she calls the damned. Dude that drove off 20-some years ago with the only survivor of the Abbey's Haven was Barons. I was so wound up after everything Danny told me that there was no way I was going to be able to do something as lethargic as curl on a sofa and watch a movie. Plus, I had so much sugar running through my system I was nearly vibrating like Danny. After she dropped the Barons bomb, she hit play and began cracking up again. The kid is resilient. I sat and stared at the screen, not seeing a thing. Why would Barons keep from me that he'd been at the Abbey when the book escaped 20-odd years ago? Why hide from me that he'd known Isla O'Connor, my sister's mother? I could relinquish a mother I'd never had, but I couldn't give up my sister. Whether she was mine or not, that was how I was thinking of her. Period. The end. I remembered coming down the back stairs, catching him talking to Riordan on the phone, hearing him say,
"After what I learned about her the other night."
Had he been referring to the night we'd gone to the cottage? Had he been as surprised as I was to hear Nana tell me the woman he'd left the Abbey with 2 decades ago had supposedly been my mother? Had he taken her to this telly woman who'd then helped Alina and me find an adoptive home in America? If Isla had left the Abbey alive, why, how, when had she died? Had she even made it to telly? Or had the woman agreed in advance to get her children out if anything happened to her? What part had Barron's been playing in all this? Had he killed Isla? I shifted restlessly. He'd seen the cake. He knew I had a birthday party planned. He hated birthdays. There was no way he'd show his face tonight. I picked at a piece of chocolate mousse icing. I stared around the bookstore. I contemplated the mural on the ceiling and fiddled with the cashmere throw. I plucked crumbs from the corner of the sofa and lined them up on my plate. Rowena was Nana's daughter. Isla and Kaylee had practically grown up together. Isla had been the Haven mistress. They'd felt it necessary to form a Haven behind Rose back, one that didn't even live at the Abbey. Isla had run the formal one, and the mysterious Telly had run the secret one. All these years, my mom, Isla, had been taking the blame for the book escaping, and now it looked like it had been Rowena behind things. She'd let us all take the blame. First Isla, then Alina, then me. "The two from the ancient bloodlines ain't got a snowball chance in hell of fixing our mess, 'cause they ain't gonna want to." I sighed. When I'd overheard my mom and dad in Ashford that night, talking about how I might doom the world, I'd felt condemned. Then Cat and Joe had showed me the prophecy, what I now knew was an abbreviated version, and I'd felt absolved. Now I was back to feeling condemned. It was more than a little disturbing to hear that the sooner my sister and I got killed, the better off the human race would be. If she'd lived, would Alina have chosen Darok? In a fit of grief, I'd wanted to unmake this world for a new one with barons in it. Were we both fatally flawed? Instead of having been smuggled from the country for our own good, had we been exiled for the sake of the world? Was that why the DEG had given me the world card? To warn me that I was going to destroy it if I wasn't careful. That I needed to look at it, see it, choose it. Who was he, anyway? When I'd first arrived in Dublin and begun finding things out about myself, I'd felt like a reluctant hero, questing on an epic journey. Now I just hoped I wouldn't end up screwing things up too much. Big problems demanded big decisions. How could I trust my own judgment when I wasn't even sure who I was? I crossed my legs, uncrossed them, and raked a hand through my hair.
"Dude, you watching her doing couch calisthenics?"
Danny complained. I gave her a stark look. "You want to go kill something?" She beamed. She had a chocolate ice cream mustache.
"Man, I thought you'd never ask."
Each time Danny and I have fought back to back is a golden memory I've tucked away in the scrapbook of my mind. I can't help but think it's what things would have been like if Alina had trusted me and we'd gotten to fight together. Knowing that you've got somebody watching your back, you're a team, you'd never leave each other behind, you'd break each other out of enemy camps, is one of the greatest feelings in the world. Knowing that no matter how bad the trouble is you've gotten yourself into, that person will come for you and go on with you. That's love. I wonder if Alina and I were weak because we let ourselves get divided, separated by an ocean. I wonder whether she'd still be alive if we'd stayed together. I may never know where I came from, but I can choose my family from here on out, and Danny's a non-negotiable part of it. Jack and Rainey are going to love her when they finally meet her. We blasted through the rain-slick streets, killing Unseelie with a vengeance. With each one I stabbed, I grew more convinced I wasn't the king. I would have felt something if I had been. Remorse, guilt, something. The king had been unwilling to give up his shadow children. I felt no pride of creation, no misguided love. I felt nothing but satisfaction at ending their immortal, parasitic existences and saving human lives. We ran into Jane and the Guardians and helped them out of a tight spot with a couple of sifters. We saw Lore and Fade on the prowl. I thought I glimpsed a Keltar on a rooftop, but he vanished so quickly I was left only with the impression of sleek, tattooed muscle in the darkness. Near dawn, we ended up a little too close to Chester's, and I decided we should probably call it quits for the day. I was finally tired enough to sleep, and I wanted to be at my best to track the Shisadu. Tonight it would finally end. Tonight we would seal the book away forever. Then I would pick up the pieces of my life and begin rebuilding it, starting with my mom and dad. I would continue with my missions to find out who'd killed Alina and who I was. But once the book was locked down again, I'd finally be able to breathe a little easier, take more time like tonight for myself. Time to live and love. Let's head back to the bookstore, Danny. A strangled sound was the only reply. I spun and sucked in a screech of breath. I didn't think. I just lunged and slammed my palms into her to null the bitch. The gray woman froze, but I was too late. I stared in horror. While I'd been lost in my own thoughts, the lesion-covered, beauty-sucking gray woman had sifted in, grabbed Danny unaware, and begun devouring her. Right behind me, and I hadn't even noticed. All I could think was, but this isn't her M.O. The gray woman devours men. Danny tried to shake her off, but couldn't. Dude, how bad am I? I looked directly at her and nearly lost it. Bad. I gaped. This was not happening. This was unacceptable. I couldn't do this. I couldn't lose Danny. I felt something wild and dark stir inside me. Oh, man, get her off me, she cried. I tried. I couldn't. Danny tried too, but the gray woman's hands created an unbreakable suction, fusing her victim to her until she chose to release it. I kept hitting her with my palms to keep her frozen, running a constant null effect on her, trying to clear my head and figure out what to do. I kept stealing sideways glances at Danny. What was left of her hair was no longer auburn. Big, bald patches showed, and lesions had formed on her scalp. Her eyes were sunken holes in a bloodless face. She was covered with sores and looked like she'd lost 50 pounds, and she couldn't have weighed more than twice that soaking wet. "Should've known," Danny said miserably. "She hangs here, likes Chester's. I've been hunting her. Guess she knew it. Ow!" She touched her mouth. Her lips were cracked, oozing. It looked as if her teeth were about to start falling out. Tears stung my eyes. I slammed my palms into the frozen gray woman. "Get off her! Get off her!" I shouted.
"Too late, Mac. Ain't it? That's what I'm seeing in your eyes."
"Never too late." I pulled my spear out and pressed it to the gray woman's throat. "Do what I say, Danny. Don't move. Just let me handle this. I'm going to let her unfreeze."
"She'll finish me."
"No, she won't. Trust me. Hang on." I closed my eyes and opened my mind. I stood on the black beach and stared at the dark waters. Deep down, something stirred, whispered welcome, greeted me with affection.
"Missed you,"
it said.
"Take these. They are all. But come back soon. There is so much more."
I knew that. I could feel it. The lake was like the padlocked box in which I kept thoughts I couldn't face. There were chains to break, a lid to lift. The runes I gathered seeped out cracks. But one day I was going to have to open that dark place of power and look deep. I scooped crimson runes from the black waters. I opened my eyes and pressed one into the gray woman's oozing cheek, another into her leprous chest. I waited. The instant she unfroze, she tried to sift, but as my dark lake had promised, the runes prevented her. The more she resisted, the brighter they pulsed. I realized this was the song of making ingredient Barons had told me about, the one that had added the punch to the prison walls. The more powerful the Fae that tried to push through, the more resistant the walls became. She exploded away from Danny and began trying to tear the runes from her skin, shrieking. They seemed to burn. Good. Danny whooshed to the ground like a sheet of paper, thin, white, and badly crumpled. I kicked the gray woman, hard, again and again. Fix her! She rolled over and hissed up at me. I raised a fist, dripping blood and runes, flung a third one at her. She screamed and curled in on herself. I said fix her!
It is impossible.
I don't believe you. You sucked it out. You can give it back. And if you can't, I will trap you in your own leprous skin and torture you for eternity. You think you're hungry now? You have no idea what hunger is. I'll show you pain. I'll keep you in a box and make it my personal mission in life to... With a snarl of rage and pain, she rolled over and clamped her oozing hands to Danny's face.
Free passage!
Bloody spittle flew from her lips. What?
You will not kill me if I do this. You and I will have, how do we say, détente. We will be comrades. You will owe me.
I will give you your life. That's all you get.
I can take hers before you can take mine.
Fuck that noise, Danny cried. Kill the bitch. You ain't owing her nothing back.
There was something bothering me. This had the feel of a personal attack. You don't kill females. Why did you come after Danny?
You killed my mate,
she snarled. The gray man?
He was the only other. Now I hurt you. Get them out of me!
Give her back what you took. Make her like she was before, and I'll remove them. Otherwise, I'll skin you in them. She writhed on the pavement. By the count of three, bitch. One, two. She held up a thin, sucker-covered, oozing hand.
Make oath with me. Free passage, or she dies.
She laughed bitterly.
We were separated when we escaped. We were going to hunt together, feed together. Who knows? In this world, perhaps we might have had young. I never saw him alive again.
Her lips peeled back.
Choose, I weary of you.
Feck her,
Danny seethed. I want more than her life. You will never harm any of mine. I won't waste my breath explaining to you who is mine. If you think there's even a minuscule possibility that I might know the person you're thinking about feeding on, don't, or our truce ends. Understand?
Neither you nor any you consider yours will ever hunt me. Understand?
You will leave no trace of your foul touch on her.
You will grant me a favor one day.
Agreed.
No, Mac!
Danny cried. I pressed my palm to the gray woman's. I felt the sting of a single sucker mouth as it bled me and we made the oath.
Fix her,
I said.
Now!
Can't fucking believe you did that,
Danny muttered for the tenth time. Her cheeks were flushed, her eyes sparkling, her curly auburn hair more lustrous than ever. She even looked a little plumper, as if she had an extra layer or two of collagen beneath her skin. "Think she gave you a little extra back, Danny," I teased. But I wasn't entirely certain the gray woman hadn't. Danny glowed. Her skin shimmered translucent. Her eyes were so green they were mesmerizing. Ruby lips pursed in a pretty moue.
"Think my boobs are bigger,"
she said with a smirk. Then she sobered.
Shoulda let her kill me, and you know it.
Never gonna happen, I said.
Stead, you went and made some kind of devil deal with a creepy feck.
And I'd do it again in a heartbeat. We'll figure it out when it becomes a problem. You're alive, that's all that matters. Danny keeps it cool, all the time. On the rare occasion she lets you see a feeling, it's one she's chosen to paste on her face and let you see. She has a vast arsenal of scowls and disgruntled sneers. She's nailed every nuance of saucy grins and cocky swaggers known to man, and I suspect she perfected the look of death by five. Her face is naked now, wide open. Unadulterated adoration blazes in her eyes.
This is the best birthday ever! I never had nobody do something like that for me, she said wonderingly. Not even Mom!
She broke off, clamping her lips in a thin line. Peas in the megapod, I said, tousling her curls, as we headed down the alley behind the bookstore. Love you, kid. She jerked, but quickly slapped an insouciant grin over her shock.
Dude! I'm even gonna let you get away with calling me kid. Really think I'm prettier? Not that I care or nothing. Just want to know what kind of pain in the ass it's going to be when I'm even hotter than I was before. And Dancer gets a good...
What a tasty drink. First one. Last one was sweet.
I whirled, spear up. They'd either sifted in or been hiding in the shadows, motionless. And we'd been so caught up in relief at our near escape that we'd been oblivious. A pair of uncely I'd never seen before stood by the trash dumpster, by the rear door of BB&B. They were identical, each with four arms and four slender tubular legs, three heads apiece, and dozens of mouths on their flat, horrific faces, with tiny, needle-sharp teeth. At the corners of the many mouths were pairs of much longer, thin teeth, and I knew, without knowing how I knew, that they used them as straws. My sister had been missing the marrow in her bones. Her endocrine glands had been drained. Her eyeballs were collapsed, and she'd had no spinal fluid. The coroner had been at a complete loss. I wasn't. Not anymore. I knew what cast had killed Alina, what had gnawed and ripped and torn at her flesh to slowly and carefully remove all her inner fluids as if they were gourmet delights. What they'd said penetrated belatedly. Brought us tasty to drink. Fast one. Last one was sweet. I froze, horrified. Surely that didn't mean what it sounded like it meant. Danny was the fast one. What? Why? My brain turned to sludge. They were staring behind me with hopeful expressions.
She is ours as well.
Six mouths spoke as one.
You must take her spear for us. You must make her helpless like you did other blondie. Leave an alley with us again.
Danny. I open my mouth. I can't seem to make a sound. I hear a choking noise behind me, a strangled sob.
Do not go, fast one.
Six mouths cry, gazes fixed behind me.
Come back! Feed us again! We are so hungry!
I turn and stare at Danny. Her eyes are enormous, her face pale. She's backing away from me. If she draws her sword, it'll make everything easy. She doesn't. Draw your sword. She shakes her head and takes another step backward. Draw your fucking sword! She bites her lower lip and shakes her head again.
I ain't doing it. I'm faster. I ain't killing you.
You killed my sister. Why not me? The dark lake in my head begins to boil.
Ain't like that.
You brought her to them. Her face screws up with anger.
You don't know a fucking thing about me, you stupid fucking fecker. You don't know nothing.
I hear rustles behind me, leathery wet sounds, and I whirl. The freaks that killed my sister are taking advantage of the distraction and trying to leave. Not a chance in hell. This is what I've been living for. This moment. My revenge. First them, then her. I lunge for them, screaming my sister's name. I slice and rip and tear. I begin with my spear and end with my bare hands. I fall on the pair like the beast form of barons. My sister died in an alley with these monsters working on her, and now I know it wasn't fast. I can see her, white-lipped with pain, knowing she's going to die, scratching a clue into the pavement, hoping I'll come, afraid I'll come, believing I could succeed where she failed. God, I miss her. Hatred consumes me. I devolve into vengeance. I embrace it. I become it. When I finish, there are no pieces larger than my fist. I'm shaking, gasping, covered with bits of flesh and gray matter from smashing their skulls.
Feed us again!
They demand it. I double over and hit the pavement, puking. I puke until I dry heave. Then I dry heave until my ears ring and my eyes are stinging. I don't have to look behind me to know she's long gone. I finally got what I came to Dublin for. I know who killed my sister. The girl I'd begun to think of as my sister. I curl in a tight ball on the cold pavement and cry. As I stepped out of the shower, I caught a glimpse of myself in the mirror. It wasn't pretty. In all the time I'd been in Dublin, with all the horrors I've encountered, I've never seen quite this expression on my face. I look haunted. Haunted is all about the eyes. I feel haunted. I came here for revenge. I brace my palms on either side of the bathroom sink and lean close into the mirror, studying myself. Who's in there, behind my face? A king that wouldn't think twice about killing a 14-year-old girl I love? Loved? Hate her now. She took my sister to an alley, gave her to monsters that slaughtered her. I can't even think things like, why? It doesn't seem to matter. She did it. Res ipsa loquitur, as Daddy would say. The thing speaks for itself. I don't have the emotional energy to dry my hair or put on makeup. I dress and drift downstairs where I slump on the sofa in the rear seating area as thunder rolls in the leaden sky. The day is so thick with rain that it looks like dusk at noon. Lightning crashes. I've lost so much and gained precious little. I'd had Danny in the gains column. Finding out who killed Alina made the pain of her death fresh again. It made it all too visual for me. I'd told myself she died instantly, and whatever had been done to her had happened post-mortem. I knew better now. While they'd slowly drained her, she lay there scratching a clue into the pavement for me. I sat, torturing myself with thoughts of her torture, as if that might accomplish something useful besides torturing myself. Leftover cake mocked me on the coffee table. Unopened presents teetered nearby. I'd baked a cake for my sister's murderer. I'd wrapped presents. I'd painted her nails. I'd sat and watched movies with her. What kind of monster was I? How could I have been so blind? Were there clues I'd never noticed? Had she ever slipped? Revealed knowledge of Alina she shouldn't have had, but I hadn't been paying enough attention. I dropped my head in my hands and squeezed, rubbing my temples, tugging my hair. The journal pages. She has Alina's journal, I said, incredulous. The journal pages that had shown up for a brief time had made no sense to me. They'd never really told me anything, and they'd appeared at the strangest times. Like the day Danny had brought my mail in, and there'd been one in the stack. In a thick, fine envelope, just the kind a corporation like Rowan's might use. But why would she have given me those entries? They'd pretty much just been about... how much Alina loved me. tears stung my eyes. The bell over the door tinkled. I rose in a half-crouch and waited. Who was here in the middle of the day? My muscles stayed tense and my gut tightened with anticipation. I eased back down to the sofa. I responded that way to only one man, Jericho Barons. I was lost in grief and fury and hated being alive, and still I wanted to stand up, stripping as I went, and have sex with him right here on the bookstore floor. Was that the sum total of my existence? I didn't get the erudition of, I think, therefore I am. Instead, I got, I am. Therefore, I want to fuck Jericho Barons.
Got a little messy in my back alley, Miss Lane.
His voice floated around bookcases preceding him. Not nearly as messy as I'd have liked. I wished I had those unseelie bastards alive right now, to kill all over again. How was I going to do what I was supposed to do? Maybe I could just take her to an alley and give her to some monsters to die. She would be hard to catch, but my dark, glassy lake was stirring, whispering, offering all kinds of assistance, and I knew that I had more than enough juice to catch the kid, to do anything I wanted. There was something very cold inside me. Always had been. I wanted to welcome it now, let it chill my blood and frost all my emotions until there was nothing left in me that was haunted, because there was nothing left in me. The rain'll clean it up.
I don't like messes on my...
Jericho. It was plea, lament, and benediction. He stopped speaking instantly. He appeared around the last bookcase and stared at me.
You can say it that way any time, Mac. Especially if you're naked and I'm on top of you.
I could feel his gaze on me, searching, trying to understand. I didn't understand myself. The plea had been to not pick on me right now. Sarcasm would undo me. The lament had been a sharing of my pain because I knew he understood pain himself. The benediction was the part I couldn't explain, as if he was sacred to me. I looked up at him. He'd been with my alleged mother the night she'd left the abbey, the night the book had escaped, and never told me. How could I revere him? I didn't have the energy to confront him. Learning that Danny had killed Alina had left me feeling like a popped balloon.
Why are you sitting in the dark?
He said finally. I know who killed Alina.
Ah.
The single word said more than most people can say in entire paragraphs.
Beyond a shadow.
Black and white. He waited. He didn't ask, and I suddenly understood that he wouldn't. This was part of who he was. Barons did feel, and when he felt most strongly, he spoke the least, asked the fewest questions. Even from here, I could feel the tension in his body as he waited to see if I would tell him more. If I didn't, he would continue walking through the store and vanish as silently as he glided into view. But if I spoke? What if I asked him to make love to me? Not fuck me hard, but make love. It was Danny. He said nothing for so long that I began to think he hadn't hurt me. Then he released a long, weary-sounding breath.
Oh, Mac, I'm sorry.
I looked up at him. What do I do? I was appalled to hear my voice crack.
You've done nothing yet.
I shook my head.
What do you want to do?
I laughed bitterly and nearly began sobbing. Pretend I never found out and go on like it never happened.
Then that's what you do.
I tipped my head back and looked up at him in disbelief. What? Barons, the great hand of vengeance is telling me to forgive and forget? You never forgive. You never walk away from a fight.
I like to fight. You do too sometimes. But in this case it doesn't sound like it.
It's not that I mean, it's... God, it's so complicated.
Life is imperfect, royally fucked up. How do you feel about her?
I felt like a traitor answering him.
Let me rephrase that. How did you feel about her before you found out she'd killed Elena?
Loved her, I whispered.
Do you think love just goes away? Pops out of existence when it becomes too painful or inconvenient, as if you never felt it.
I looked at him. What did Jericho Barons know of love?
If only it did. If only it could be turned off. It's not a faucet. Love's a bloody river with level 5 rapids. Only a catastrophic act of nature or a dam has any chance of stopping it. And then, usually only succeeds in diverting it. Both measures are extreme and change the terrain so much, you end up wondering why you bothered. No landmarks to gauge your position when it's done. Only way to survive is to devise new ways to map out life. You loved her yesterday. You love her today. And she did something that devastates you. You'll love her tomorrow.
She killed my sister!
With malice? Spite? Out of cruelty, hunger for power?
How would I know?
You love her,
he said roughly.
That means you know her. When you love somebody, you see inside them. Use your heart. Is Danny that kind of person?
Jericho Barons was telling me to use my heart. Could life get any stranger?
Think maybe somebody told her to do it.
She should have known better.
Humans in their infancy tend to be infants.
Are you making excuses for her? I snarled.
There is no excuse. I'm merely pointing out what you want me to point out. How has Danny treated you since the day you met?
It hurt to even say the words. Like a big sister she looked up to.
Has she been loyal to you? Taken your side against others?
I nodded. Even when she'd thought I'd hooked up with Darok, she'd have remained at my side, followed me into hell.
She must have known you were Elena's sister.
Yes.
Coming to see you would have felt like facing the firing squad every time.
I'd told her we were like sisters. And sisters, I'd told her, forgive each other everything. I'd caught a glimpse of her face in the mirror after I'd said it, when she hadn't known I was looking. Her expression had been bleak, and now I understood why. Because she'd been thinking, yeah, right, Mac's gonna kill me if she ever finds out. Yet she'd still kept coming. When I thought about it, I was astonished she hadn't hunted down and killed those Unseelie, removing the damning evidence from the face of the earth. He was silent a long moment, then...
Did she actually kill Elena? With her hands, a weapon?
Why do you ask?
Everything has degrees.
You think some ways of killing are better?
I know they are.
Death is death.
Agreed, but killing is not always murder.
I think she took her somewhere she knew she'd be killed.
Now you don't sound certain she killed her.
I told him what had happened last night, what the Unseelie had said, how Elena's body had looked, how Danny had vanished. He nodded in silent agreement when I was finished. So, what do I do?
Are you asking me for advice?
I braced myself for a sarcastic comment. Don't snap my head off, okay? I had a bad night.
Wasn't going to.
He sat down on his heels in front of me and looked into my eyes.
This one got you. Worse than all the other things that happened to you. Worse than being turned pariah.
I shrugged. I got to have sex nonstop. No blame, no shame. You kidding me? Compared to the rest of my life, that was a joy. He didn't say anything for a long time. Then...
But not something you'd care to repeat in full possession of your senses.
It was... I searched for words to explain. He was motionless, waiting. like Halloween, when people rioted, they loot, do crazy things.
You're saying Priya was a blackout?
I nodded. So what do I do?
You pull your fucking...
He bared his teeth on a silent snarl and looked away. When he looked back again, his face was a cool mask of urbanity.
You choose what you can live with. And what you can't live without, that's what.
You mean, can I live with killing her? Can I stand myself if I don't kill her?
I mean, can you live without her? You kill her. You snuff her life forever. Danny will never be again. At 14, she'll be done. She had her chances. She fucked up. She lost. Are you ready to be her judge, jury, and executioner?
I swallowed and dropped my head, shielding myself with hair as if I could hide behind it and not have to come out. You're saying I won't like myself.
I think you deal with it fine. You find places to put things. I know how you work. I've seen you kill. I think O'Banion and his men were the hardest for you, because they were your first humans. But after that, you took to it with a bit of stone cold. But this would be a chosen killing. Premeditated. It makes you breathe different.